你好
Hello
皆さんこんにちは
Salut
여러분안녕하십니까
Guten Tag
Como esta
CRI brings you voices from other land
Hello and welcome to this edition of Voices from Other Lands on China Radio International. I'm your host Su Xiaowei. There are over 2,650 languages in the world, with about 7,000 dialects. Out of this, the Chinese language is ranked as one of the four most time-demanding and difficult languages to learn. But this challenge doesn't seem to be preventing people all over the world from taking on the task. According to The Economist magazine, there are currently some 30 million foreigners studying the language. This is good news for Fred Rao, the founder and CEO of eChineseLearning.com, a video-based online Chinese teaching website. With around 30 qualified Chinese teachers based in Beijing, the company can provide one-on-one lessons to anyone in the world with access to a computer and the internet. Rao started eChinese Learning in 2006 after getting his MBA from Stanford University and co-founding a Chinese social networking site. I caught up with Fred Rao at his office earlier this week to talk about the growing global trend of learning Chinese and the business behind eChinese Learning. I want to first ask you about this huge jump in the number of people learning Chinese in the world, especially in the United States, where 5 years ago it was mostly children of Chinese descent that studied Chinese outside of normal school. Now we're seeing programs popping up in elementary school, high school, and universities. What is the general demographic of these new learners?
Well, you know, you will see in the past there are many students who are of Chinese descent, and they are interested in learning Chinese because mostly of cultural reasons. Mm-hmm. But right now, given the economic development from China, there are many, many people that are interested in learning Chinese as their second language. What we have seen at eChineseLearning is that there are many people from different backgrounds. Okay, from business backgrounds, you know, from different ethnic backgrounds. For example, for us, we have seen a lot of businessmen are learning Chinese. One example, you know, just from recent experience is an investment banker, you know, who took to the stock exchange in New York. You know, she is an analyst at Jeffrey Piper, the investment banking firm. So she's taking a class from us. Mm-hmm. So that's a very, very interesting. Also, you know, we have students who have taken classes from us for about almost a year now, and he's a Denver businessman. Okay, so he is trading printers between Denver and China. So he is learning Chinese. So you are seeing a lot of practitioners learning Chinese. Mm-hmm. We have also seen a lot of mainstream customers in the U.S. learning Chinese. For example, we have a student from Philadelphia, a 12-year kid, and he is learning Chinese. So one time I talked to his mom. You know, why do you want your kids to learn Chinese? She said, you know, well, it's very important because if my kid wants to get into Ivy League, I want him to be prepared. And mm-hmm. Chinese is definitely the language of the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. eChinese Learning is China's largest online Chinese teaching website. And you started eChinese Learning in April of 2006. How many students do you have total right now?
Last year, which was the first year in operation for us, we had served over 400 students worldwide from over 42 countries and age from 4 to 72.
Mm-hmm. And how many teachers support all these students?
So we have about 30 teachers full-time. Mm-hmm. Our teachers are very well qualified, and they are, unlike a lot of others, we train them. They are they usually major in teaching Chinese as second language or major in Chinese academically. And after that, they usually have had experience in teaching Chinese face-to-face. And also, they had to go through a very rigorous training process before they started to teach Chinese.
Now, the U.S. Department of Defense classifies Mandarin as a critical foreign language, and they've put $10 million U.S. dollars into language programs in the U.S. So why has Chinese gotten so, not just popular, but so, you know, critical, as they say, all of a sudden? And are we seeing a temporary trend?
Well, I definitely see this is as a long-term trend. You know, there are several reasons. I think obviously economic status for China in the international market. You have seen there are so many companies are entering international global market, and also you have seen companies like China Investment Group purchases stakes at Morgan Stanley. You know, cases like this. I think economic status, that's number one. Number two, I think politically, you know, China is really getting up there in the world. They have a lot of impact in the world. You know, I think third is simply culturally. China has been closely integrated into the world. And there are many, many cultural interests in Chinese. And definitely we see that as a trend. Also, you know, I think among all this, I personally believe Chinese is a language that is, unlike a lot of other languages, has a lot of implications in terms, you know, a kid's future. That's why Chinese has been placed as part of the advanced placement program in U.S. high school. So last year, there were about 3,000 U.S. schools started Chinese in their advanced placement program.
It seems like before, for myself, my parents are Chinese, I'm Chinese, and a lot of my friends were also Chinese American, and we were forced to take Chinese school on weekends or in the evenings or to satisfy our parents' needs to pass on this language and not lose that aspect of your culture, and that later you can still speak to your grandparents, your relatives who still live in China and whatnot. And now, you know, we're seeing people who have no connection to China whatsoever. Maybe they haven't even been to China. And I just wonder if, besides being a job asset, do they find it culturally interesting to learn Chinese? Because if you are to devote all this time to learning a language, you must find it interesting, at least.
Yes, I think, you know, a lot of people find learning Chinese is very different. You know, it's very challenging, though. Locally, you know, they do have some choices. For example, like what you just mentioned, you can go to a, you know, weekend school, learn. And by the way, you know, I used to run a local Chinese language school. But the problem with that is it's not continuous experience. So every weekend you take lessons. And then in the next weekend, it's very likely that you forget, you know, what you learned, you know, last week. So I think for continuous learning, a lot of, you know, students are very interested in, you know, Chinese characters, Chinese history. And I have to point out, a lot of foreigners are really interested how Chinese think. You know, it's interesting that if you learn the language, you actually try to think in the other's eyes, in the eyes of others. And I think it's fascinating for a lot of students, and they are, you know, usually, you know, we have a lot of questions about, hey, you know, what's the next holiday, you know, in China, and oh, this is mid-autumn holiday, what does it mean? So tell us more about it. So lots of questions like that.
Now, you mentioned that Chinese is challenging for foreign learners. In the U.S., Spanish has always been the most studied language in, you know, high school and universities, and then followed by French and Latin and German. And these languages are much easier to learn compared to Chinese for English speakers. Now, according to the Foreign Service Institute, it takes about 1,300 hours for English speaker to be fluent in Chinese, whereas it takes about a third of that time for them to be fluent in French or Spanish, about less than 500 hours. So what's the most challenging aspect of learning Chinese? Is it the speaking, reading, writing?
Yeah, it could be challenging. However, we felt there are different elements for different people. What we found out that was most challenging was a lot of people did not have enough time and also have effective ways to learn this language and also keep practicing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of people face in today's world. Lots of people do not have the time nor resources to come to China to learn this language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at eChinese Learning, our way of teaching is that through internet, through online live learning, you can learn at home, almost any time at your convenience. So by this way, you can practice a lot. So we offer, one hour of class a day. So you can take every day. So you have enough opportunity to practice, what you have learned. I think that's overall, that's most challenging, because after you learn, at school, and then you forget, you don't have the environment to practice, you don't have a real Chinese, live person to talk to on a daily basis. So this is something that we try to resolve. So just think about it. If you learn, from 5 years old or 6 years old, you can talk with your teacher on a daily basis. The teacher is a native Chinese teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very, very helpful. Can resolve a lot of issues later down the road. Technically, there are quite a few things that could be difficult for people from, Americans or Europe. For example, the tone of Chinese, that could be difficult for them. However, you have a teacher that can give you constant constructive feedback, on a daily basis, it could be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Voices from Motherlands on China Radio International. I'm Su Xiaowei, and on the program today is Fred Rao, founder and CEO of eChineseLearning.com. We'll take a short break, so stay tuned.
This program is being heard in Beijing, many other Chinese cities, and around the world on various frequencies. It's also available on the World Radio Network, as well as the World Wide Web at CRIEnglish.com.
Welcome back to Voices from Motherlands. I'm Su Xiaowei. My guest today is Fred Rao, the man behind eChinese Learning, China's largest video-based online Chinese learning website. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background. You studied engineering and business, and you co-founded a Chinese social networking site called UUMe.
Yes.
And you started teaching Chinese when you were studying at Stanford University in the U.S. What did you gather from the Chinese programs that were offered there? And what was your experience like teaching Chinese?
I actually taught Chinese before I went to Stanford.
Mm.
I helped start an NGO, which is Chinese Culture Institute, locally in Colorado.
Mm.
And there we had a Chinese language school, and I was teaching Chinese there. My experience was very exciting. And of course, at times, you know, I was I felt frustrated.
Yeah.
And the exciting, you know, time was really there are you know, every weekend you spend time with kids, and they are practicing you know, every weekend, and after they learn some words, they are so excited. You know, mm-hmm. that's you feel the same way. On the other hand, like I said, for Chinese language school over the weekend, it is very challenging for kids because they don't have environment to practice during the week. So at times it could be frustrating. I think that's the reason that I was interested in starting a Chinese language school over the internet after I came back to China. I did have some experience, you know, starting another website business prior to eChinese learning, and it was very good experience and helps me a lot in terms of understanding the dynamics over the internet,
mm-hmm.
and it definitely helps me to understand better about consumer behavior, and I think I consider that as a valuable asset.
Mm-hmm. So do you see yourself now as a businessman or as an educator still? Because you come from a background of educators. Your parents were both in education. Your mother taught English.
Right, right. I've you know, from when I was a kid, I because I grew up in a family where most both of my parents are, you know, in the education field, I had always wanted to become a teacher, and for me right now is the best of situation. I studied business before, and at the same time, you know, I was interested in, you know, had a passion in education, so this is the, you know, place where I want to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. eChinese learning really takes advantage of the web technology that is cheaply available. You can use things like Skype for free, MSN chat, video sharing. How do these teaching tools actually help students learn Chinese better than traditional forms like listening to tapes through books or even in a normal classroom setting?
I think there are at least from two aspects. First of all, you know, our teaching is live. So I think the ways of teaching, like what you just mentioned, you know, listening to tapes, you know, is very important. It's helpful. However, you know, in order to have a live and constant feedback, you really need a live teacher that can help you. So I think that's very, that's one aspect. Another aspect is really one-on-one instruction. This is, I think is very important because individual instruction is, I believe, the future of education. There, because of the economic reasons, the scalability issues, it's very difficult to have one-on-one instruction for a lot of educational topics. However, for language training in Chinese, I felt we are breaking ground, and we are trying to help make sure that each student can have individualized attention, and our teacher can provide individualized instruction, and we can tailor the instruction for the student's own style and pace.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, when you start a program, we'll do individualized testing, and it will develop a personalized study plan,
mm-hmm.
based on your own goals and study habits,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll talk to you and we'll adjust along the way. So I think this individualized instruction is critical for a lot of Chinese language learners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seems that with this surge in Chinese learning, there's a huge shortage of qualified Chinese teachers outside of China. And in my experience, Chinese teachers are always, in the traditional idea of Chinese teachers, is they're always kind of strict, and they make you do a lot of homework. And What requirements do you have for your teaching staff? What do you look for in a good Chinese teacher?
Sure. I mean, we are very, very strict about the qualification, and also we put a lot of training into our teaching staff. We have, you know, we have a teaching staff where almost all of them had a major in teaching Chinese as a second language or Chinese language, mm-hmm. and they had to go through very rigorous training. And I can tell you that our internal training qualification rate is 50%, and the 50%, you know, did not qualify.
Mm.
And besides, they also have to have very good personality, and we emphasize the experience of the students. So they must have very, very good experience in terms of, you know, learning. And that includes having a lot of fun, mm-hmm. laugh a lot, you know. So our students smile, our teachers smile a lot, and our students laugh a lot. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you listen to the recording of our lessons, you will see it's a very fine and interesting experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you predict for the future of Chinese study? Will it spread to every corner of the world? Will every, you know, man, woman, and child be speaking English and Chinese? Will Chinese be equally important as English in the next however many years? Or will this kind of trend slowly die down and it'll just be back to normal?
Well, I definitely felt, you know, it's hard to tell whether Chinese will be, you know, like, you know, like English will become the number one second language. However, there are several things. Number one, Chinese is the most populous language. You know, there are 1.3 billion people, you know, speaking the language. And if you have this important tool, and it's going to be benefit for you to live and or do business in this world. And also, right now there are about 30 million people worldwide learning Chinese. So it's this very still a small, a relatively small number compared to the English speaking population. I have to say, it's still very early in the stage, and anticipate there will be a lot of people, more people learning Chinese in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.
That was Fred Rao, CEO of eChineseLearning.com. That's all for today's show. I'm Su Xiaowei. Hope you'll join me again same time next week for another edition of Voices from Motherlands.
Thursday, CRI's Voices from Other Lands features a discussion with guest speakers from abroad. You could join us if you have interesting experiences or professions in your home country or China. Email us at voices@cri.com.cn. Make your voice heard on Voices from Other Lands.